This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Good Monday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. March 25th, 2024. We've got an excellent show planned for you today. Excited to bring it your way on what is a beautiful but slightly chilly still Monday afternoon in the nation's capital. Danny, happy baseball week. The Nats are playing a game at Nationals Park tomorrow, exhibition tilt. And then on Thursday, they hit the road for opening day in Major League Baseball at Cincinnati.
This is the good time. Let it roll, right? As you mentioned, the weather's not outstanding. It's a little chilly, but who cares? Tournament was awesome this weekend. That Houston-Texas A&M game, all-timer. Oakland's magical run at the forefront of our consciousness ended with another Cinderella story that, by the way, was the nation's darling in NC State, survive in advance, winning 5 games in 5 days just to make the tournament. Now they're in the Sweet 16. The stories go on and on. It's the best. This is a pretty good time in the sporting calendar. Draft is coming up. You and me are busy, and I like it.
Capitals Senators tickets for you today at 5 o'clock. You got to be listening. Kedrick Golston is going to join us at that time. Want to talk to our old pal, who was for many years the longest tenured player here in D.C. with the then Redskins, on the hip drop tackle being banned. He played defense in this league for many years and has opinions and strong thought out takes. Wanted to get his insight on what the league decided to do today, banning a tackle that's been part of the game, but getting people injured for some time. And that's something that they want to fix. So we'll talk to Ked about that at 5, and that's when we will give away Caps Senators tickets. So make note of that on G&D. We'll also be giving away tickets to Nationals opening day today. This is the home opener on Monday, April 1st, a week from today. We'll do this in the 4 o'clock hour. The way we're going to do it is we're going to play a little Nationals Who Am I?
Who am I?
We're going to give you 3 hints, one per segment throughout that hour to kick things off. And then you'll have to piece together the puzzle, solve the riddle that we're giving you on which Nationals player we are giving you hints on. The game is called Who Am I? And you can win tickets to opening day by listening throughout the 4 o'clock hour here on G&D.
See, there's a little thing right there. You got to listen the whole time. You won't know who it is with just one of the hints or even two of the hints. You got to listen for all three. That's how we do it.
Speaking of opening day, Thursday afternoon, the Nats open their season in Cincinnati against the Reds. We're going to be at Rudy's Golf in Kingstown, Alexandria.
Yes.
Ramping up for the start of the season.
Yes.
We're back at our spot at Rudy's. Fans of the Nationals, rejoice and come on out and hang with us. You can watch opening day. They got all the screens. They got TVs at bays if you want to go out and hit golf balls. What's better and more spring and opening day than driving golf balls with your pal, having some afternoon beverages with baseball on the screen in front of you?
Cannot wait. It'll be about 50 degrees in the early afternoon, right, as you're hanging out. Just whack some golf balls, eat some delicious
heated
food stuff, and hang
if you
out.
Want
yeah,
that.
The heated Michael Bay's. I'm telling you, it's so much fun. I love that place.
So March 28th, 3 days out on Thursday, we're broadcasting. It's Rudy's Golf and sports bar in Kingstown ahead of opening day. They got the double deck driving range, top tracer technology, multiple putt-putt courses, full restaurant, which is delicious.
So good.
Full bar as well. Rudy'sGolf.com. Rudy's is the new go-to spot for golf and entertainment. Danny, let's start with the banning of the hip drop tackle today. This is the big news that has come out of the league meetings that are taking place with all the owners descending upon an opportunity to make a couple of quick changes. And they did that with a universal and unanimous vote. I'm surprised by that, by the way. I get that owners want to do everything they can to be able to say, probably for legal reasons more than anything else, we're trying to make the game safer, we swear. But 32-0 is surprising because I do think this is going to be hard to officiate. I think that legislating this rule is going to be ultra problematic. We talked about this a lot last week, but the league put an emphasis on protecting quarterbacks. And what has happened, in my opinion, is that we're now to the extreme of it is impossible to tackle a quarterback without getting a roughing penalty. The amount of bad roughing calls that you see in NFL games is embarrassing as far as I'm concerned for the league and the product. Similarly, we've tried to rid the game of violent helmet-to-helmet collisions in the secondary, of defenseless receivers, of players that are trying to catch passes, and DBs flying in to blow up plays. And that's a noble cause. That's the right thing to do. We should try to get some of the dirty plays out of the game. But what you see is any kind of loud contact, any kind of bad-looking play, The default is throw a flag and ask questions later. And there's plenty of times where DBs do nothing wrong. They don't even hit someone in the helmet. They hit where they're supposed to, and a guy gets hurt or it looks jarring. Or sometimes they do hit where they're not allowed to because the receiver in a really fast game changed the target after they launched, and it's just impossible to play in the secondary. My fear is, while this is a good idea, the injuries on this play are often severe and occur at a clip that far exceeds any other play. Mm-hmm. I get what you're trying to do. I just don't think your officials can officiate it. And I'm tired of watching games and seeing officials not be able to officiate things correctly.
I don't have a great analogy for this, but I'll do my best. Imagine you're in charge of like a little small town, right? And you go, hey, we've seen the data on speeding. And there's a corridor where people are speeding at a pretty good clip, and we know it. We know all the data. We know what it says about accidents and injuries and everything else. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to assemble all sorts of obstacles and roadblocks and complications and things. And so the end result is traffic snarl. Nobody can really understand where they're supposed to go. Mass confusion. Everybody's annoyed. Again, an imperfect analogy. But it's very reasonable to try to protect football players. I know it's not what we're supposed to say as like, you know, reflexive, dumb jock sports talk guys is supposed to be, they're legislating everything out of the game, which may as well be tiddlywinks. No one's saying that. What we're trying to tell you is it's reasonable to say, hey, we'd like our players to be healthier more often in a violent game where the injury rate is close to 100%. We want guys to be safer. Very reasonable. It's even reasonable to try to fix this play. They've got the data on it. The problem is the implementation. There is no good way to do this. I don't have a good enough answer, by the way. This is me sitting here admitting I can't give you a better way to solve this problem, to fix it, to fine it, to legislate out of the game. I don't have an answer for that. I understand it's risky. The implementation, everybody who's been through these last several rounds of rule changes and protections and things has seen it negatively affect their viewing the games, has it negatively affect a whole bunch of teams where a guy didn't really do anything wrong, but it's like, nah, you know what you did. Actually, no, I don't. I landed near the quarterback, and that's a 15-yard penalty. Everyone knows the implementation is going to ruin it.
Yeah, I think maybe I'm in the minority on this, but it does seem to me like the average person that I talk to about banning this play thinks that getting rid of the play and avoiding all the injuries that come with it is a worthwhile endeavor, even if there are a bunch of flags over the course of a season. Maybe it's less than one per game, but around that, if we see 15 hip drop plays in 17 Commanders games, let's say, that go for or against you, if five times, let's say it's 7.5 of the 15, let's just say it's 50-50, if those calls go against Washington, where, you know, they should have gotten a call, they didn't, or they get called for something they didn't actually do, people say, oh, well, that's the cost of doing business. Just like the roughing the passer calls. I don't want to continue to add more opportunity for the refs to screw up critical moments in a game. And I think that's what we're doing. Now, the question is the juice worth the squeeze if you get rid of some of the injuries? And a lot of people would say, yes, absolutely. That should be the goal. I think the goal is to both, where you can, make the game safer, but also consider what is refable and what isn't. What is able to be done by your human officials in this incredibly fast game. And I don't know that this meets that threshold for me. For what it's worth, Troy Vincent, who is the NFL's EVP of football ops, who was on the show with us at the Super Bowl, he says that the violation's going to result in a 15-yard penalty if flagged in games. But he did stress, implying this past week, so I don't know if this has changed, but a week ago he said, it's likely to be enforced like the use of the helmet rule, which leads to warning letters and fines after a game rather than flags during the play initially. So maybe early in the year, week one, week two, they're not going to be throwing the flag on a guy saying, hey, that was a hip drop tackle. They're going to send him a letter and say, just so you know, second quarter tackle against Danny Ruye on the sideline was illegal. Next time you're getting penalized. And in the meantime, here's a $10,000 fine, which is why the NFLPA wants nothing to do with this, by the way. That's what's always funny to me, too. The owners, every single one of them, voted to do this. Meanwhile, the players don't want this. Like, you're doing this to keep them healthier. And I would imagine that a guy who had his leg broken or his knee torn up on a hip drop tackle is for this. But the Players Association advocating on behalf of the players, and certainly I would imagine defensive players, they want nothing to do with this. There's also just the balance that continues to be swung toward offense. Now, interestingly, points are down almost, I think it's like 5.5 or 6 per game over the last decade, something like that. And last year we saw points go down a little bit again. But it does feel like every new rule benefits the offense. I think that's the...
That's the impression, certainly.
Way people view it.
Yeah, you could start doing the scoreboard and you go, yeah, well, that one benefited the offense. This illegal contact, this kind of tackling, this sort of roughing the passer, this kind of... Yeah, it generally benefits the offense because they've realized that people like gambling, they like fantasy sports, they like healthy quarterbacks and the like, even though, I mean, we talked about it at one point last year. Look at the list of quarterbacks starting this week. Look at the injury rate. It's pretty staggering. This is what the league is trying to avoid. So, you know, more of these rules, I think, are on the way. So, yeah, it is harder for the defense, and I think that's indisputable.
I just saw this quote from Rich McKay, who's one of the guys that runs the competition committee. On Monday, McKay clarified, so this was today, this rule change does not eliminate the hip drop tackle, only the swivel technique that doesn't get used very often. I mean, again, this all sounds awesome in a boardroom on a Monday. So officials that already are viewing 100 things running down the field, some 62-year-old dude who's just trying to keep up with, Mike Evans, is going to say, well, that was a hip drop tackle.
But did he swivel?
The swivel technique there, I just think it sounds like a great idea, and we're all going to be screaming about this in October. That's my guess.
Yeah, there's the inconsistency of enforcement. Whatever the rule is in any sport, I mean, obviously I came up through baseball. Whatever your strike zone is, umpire, we'll live with that. It's when it's been a ball all day and it's a strike that time when you ring me up. When it's been a strike all day, but now it's a ball on the 0-2 pitch, and then the guy hits the next pitch over the fence. The inconsistent application of something, right? It's holding, yeah, but not in the fourth quarter with under 3 minutes to go. Yeah, it's holding, but not right this on this player. It hasn't been holding all game, but this time because a guy slipped, it's holding. The inconsistent application is what drives players, and by extension, coaches, fans, people viewing these games, crazy. So there's going to be a play where it happens or it doesn't, or it's close to it. A flag's either going to happen or it's not, and then you're going to go, what'd you see on that play? Guys, I can't figure this one out because this was hip drop 2 weeks ago when we were in Cleveland, but now they're in Miami. I guess it's not. Different crew, different thing. It's so exasperating that they're just like, yeah, totally. The NFLPA, by the way, is like, as you said, we don't really want this. And the NFL was like, thank you so much. We really appreciate that. 32-0. Shut up. It's happening.
NFL Executive Vice President Jeff Miller said there were 230 instances of the incorrect tackling technique last year. So that's not the hip drop. That's the old hip drop swivel.
That's your hip swivel.
That's the one they're getting rid of. Of those 230, 15 resulted in players missing time. Does missing time mean any time? Like you walk off the field because you got landed on, you miss a couple of plays and come back out? Is that one of the 15?
Great question.
Or are they saying 15 guys didn't come back and then missed a game the following week?
You're out for multiple weeks. I don't know the answer to that.
I'd be curious about that. Two other proposals got approved as well. Teams receive a third challenge after a successful challenge. This, to me, was a no-brainer. I don't know why this wasn't always the case. So the way it's always been is you've got to get both of your challenges right, and then you get a third challenge. Well, the question I've always asked, Danny, is, well, wait a second. If you get a call wrong, I challenge and win. Why shouldn't I get my challenge back? I'm being penalized, in other words, for you screwing up a call if I miss on the next challenge. Like, I'm 1-for-2, I don't get a third. Well, no, you got the call wrong in the first quarter. I had to reverse the call with my challenge flag. I should be handed a flag again for later. And that's now what they're doing. If you're right and the ref is wrong, you get to basically keep your flag for a third challenge later rather than having to go 2-for-2.
Yeah, this one I'm not angry about or thrilled about either way. It makes sense to me. I could live with either system on this one. But yeah, this is pretty intuitive to me. I do like it on a binary. Because to your point, you're usually early on, there is some strategy to it, which I like. I like making coaches make decisions. I like taking automation out of it. So are you, even though this call is wrong, it could be second and a quarter of an inch. So you don't want to waste your challenge to make it first and 10. You're going to get your first down, presumably. So maybe you don't use it, right? That's the kind of stuff I like. This actually makes it a little bit easier to be able to, quote unquote, burn that challenge where you'd go, yeah, this is obvious. I'm going to win it. This is basically like a freebie, and I'll still have one in my back pocket later.
If you guys want to hop in on the banning of the hip drop tackle, the big news out of the NFL today, and the fact that another one of the plays that you will see in the NFL is going to go away that defenses were implementing, so to speak. Another one of the rulings has gone against defense. You can hit us up, 800-636-1067. I got no problem with trying to make the game safer. In fact, I think that should be the goal. I just think there's got to be a way to make sure that it's legislated correctly, and I see this going the way of the personal foul, which I can't tell you. I mean, every single Sunday you're sitting at home watching Red Zone or flipping around if you got ticket like I do. You can't watch a day's worth of NFL games without seeing two or three really, really bad personal foul calls on hits on the quarterback, where a guy just did nothing wrong.
He's game changers, man.
Playing football. And they often come, it's like, it seems like end of the game.
Yeah, it's like a 3rd and 17, incomplete pass. Now it's a first down.
I also think that the hip drop tackle, it's often a little guy on a big guy. You know, it is a defensive back trying to get a tight end to the ground who probably needs to. It's a hustle play.
Yeah, it's not linebacker
a touchdown
and running back I formation meeting in the hole. We're not talking about that. It's you know, someone going sideways or chase down or, you know, that. The desperation play to try to catch up to somebody.
Yeah. And the comp a lot of people are using, too, is the horse collar tackle. You know, they've done a good job getting the horse collar tackle out of football.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's easy to legislate. Like, I don't...
It's easier, I think.
I don't remember having a problem. I would imagine I didn't when they said they were going to try to get rid of the horse collar tackle. Because, number one, it was obvious that guys were getting hurt at a higher rate, just like the hip drop swivel.
Yeah. I mean, the Terrell Owens play kind of was, yes, the seminal moment there.
But, right? But that one's easy. Are his fingers inside of the collar, yes or no? Like, you see that tackle from a mile away, you know it's a horse collar tackle. You see it.
Yeah.
I don't view the hip drop swivel the same way. And to the point that we've got McKay today coming out and going, well, the hip drop is okay, but not the hip drop swivel. That tells you everything you need to know. This thing is going to be a mess, in my opinion, to referee. We'll take the calls on this at 800-636-1067. We got to preview the week ahead for the Nats. They're back at Nationals Park for a really cool event tomorrow that fans will be going to. Also, how about the Capitals, man? How about Alex Ovechkin?
Them boys are working a little bit.
What a win at Capital One Arena yesterday. We'll get into those things next on G&D here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thank you, Earl. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, on The Fan, as we are just 3 days away from opening day. The Nationals will be playing at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati against the Reds. That's okay, though. The non-home opener, opening day, is okay because we get to go to Rudy's Golf. We'll be there on Thursday, sports bar in Kingstown, Alexandria, with a full driving range. It's the old Topgolf location, if you're familiar with Kingstown. Top Tracer Tech, couple of putt-putt courses, full restaurant, fun for everybody in the family. Rudy'sGolf.com, they're the new go-to spot for golf and entertainment. Speaking of baseball, the second annual Grant and Danny Spring Break Tournament took place this weekend.
Oh, hello there.
And culminated today over at Annandale High School, where I just got a text. I got boots on the ground, Danny.
All right, yeah.
I've got a source over there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a back-to-back champion. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put our hands together for the Meridian Mustangs.
Meridian Mustangs.
The Meridian Mustangs, winners for the second time in as many years of the second annual Grant and Danny Spring Break Tournament. Very formal tournament that we do.
Yes,
we're
that's right.
We're on T-shirts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They got a walk-off win. Atticus Kim got hit by a pitch with the bases loaded to win the whole thing.
I'll take it. You wear it for a win.
I mean, that's
let's go
from Atticus Kim. 5-4, they beat TJ. Meridian co-MVPs. Grant Grenier, their pitcher, who threw a no-hitter today. Good name, by the way.
It's not a bad day at the office. Grenier
no-hitter,
is a nice name, yeah.
Casual to get his team to the championship. And then Alessio Azimapour, also a co-MVP for Meridian. So them, TJ, Potomac, the Annandale Adams all playing in the tournament. We appreciate being able to be a small part of it.
That is a neat little thing that we're able to do. Eventually that tournament grows. They'll still keep four teams in it, but it's like the prestige.
Maybe it'll be 12 teams.
Oh.
Maybe we need to, this is NCAA expansion style. Maybe we need to up the ante.
Over 6-7 weeks, multiple locations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want this thing televised in the future.
We got a bracket.
This is big. Speaking of brackets, how's yours looking?
There's a lot of red.
Okay.
There's a lot of red. Not red. Not the good kind of red.
There
like the mistakes.
Be as much red as normal. All the ones and twos advanced. 10 of the top 12 teams in the field are still alive in the Sweet 16. This is very rare. This is very chalky Chalkerson. So if you rolled with ones and twos, I saw somewhere, I don't actually believe this. Somebody texted me, it's the first time since the 70s that all of the ones and twos are still alive as we're in the Sweet 16.
It feels crazy.
I'm going to say that's not true, but 10 out of the top 12, meaning three-seed or better, still alive with Baylor having lost and Kentucky having been upset by the Golkie Golkersons.
Yeah, there are a couple teams that I thought were giant fraudulent liars are in the Sweet 16. That's why I was wrong about that. A couple teams that I thought would put it together and make some moves.
Who did you think was a fraudulent liar?
I thought Clemson was going to lose by 100 points every time they stepped on the court. Okay. I was like, I don't buy it. No, wrong. They've been really good during the Sweet 16 against Arizona. I thought Kentucky was going to put it together. Like I was like Kentucky. They're so talented.
Hard pass on Kentucky.
They haven't won in so long. Everybody's sleeping on them. They're doing like a Coach Cal can even coach, bro. And that's the actual a legitimate question. Coach Cal can even coach, bro.
I'll tell you who I've been impressed by and didn't buy was Duke. I kind of thought that
they were
skilled but soft team.
They were unreal.
I don't think they missed against JMU yesterday.
They were real comfortable.
They shot the lights out. And the Dukes got a raw deal early. I'm not saying the calls were bad, but for JMU, when you're going up against Duke, you need your best players on the floor playing really good basketball. And Terrence Edwards, a minute and 40 seconds into the game, he's their dog. He's like their, you know, kind of the leader, wears number five. That guy went to the bench in foul trouble with two fouls a minute and a half in, and you kind of knew right then and there this is not going to be the Wisconsin game.
Yeah, and then McCain from Duke, if he took a piece of paper and crumpled it up and threw it towards the wastebasket, it would go in. If he took like a thumbtack and threw it 100 miles, it would go exactly where he wanted to. Like, that dude was unconscious.
The other of the sports that I was monitoring closely yesterday was the NHL. I was at the Caps and the Jets. I went to the Caps-Jets game. It was my wife's birthday. So we took the entire family. This was the debut maiden voyage for McKinley. Truman, Reagan, they're veterans.
They know what to do, yeah.
But this was the first time as a group we all went to the game decking out in Caps gear for the wife's birthday. And I told them on the way there, I said, listen, guys, they're playing a team that's better than them. So let's calibrate our expectations thusly. The Caps were awesome. Charlie Lindgren was marvelous yesterday. 27 saves. He has been sensational. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not. We can get into that in a second. But if they do, he is playing at a level where if he is to play in their first round like he is right now, they can absolutely win a first-round series against anybody in the East. He is playing that well. He will steal them a game. And he did yesterday, I thought. Made what should have been a 2-3-goal deficit, a scoreless game going into the third. Eventually, they get a goal from Carlson, two more from Alex Ovechkin. Ovi's got goals in five in a row, Danny. He's got three multi-goal games in his last four. He's the first player at his age, 38 or older, to ever have 8 goals in 5 games. And he's now got 18 goals in his last 24 contests. Second most in the NHL, even with Auston Matthews in that time. What he's done has been breathtaking. And the Capitals, after selling off at the deadline, with the kids playing, are winning huge games against good teams.
Now, when you mention Alex, it's Ovechkin, I believe. You're talking greatest goal scorer ever, that guy. We know him. He's on his way to Gretzky and the whole nine yards. You also, I think, are talking about the NHL's first star of the week, Alex Ovechkin. You put up 8 goals in 5 games, that'll happen. That's all I really can focus on and think about. What you're saying is correct, and thank you for saying it. You're right. They're fun. They're winning these games. They probably shouldn't be winning, but here they are. It wasn't the plan. It was a Darcy Kemper, we're going to let the veterans do it again plan. That's not what's happening. Whatever. I don't care. It's fun. Every single time in his career, some idiot, and I'm going to point right at myself, goes, this might be the time he's slowing down. This might be the wall. This might be the thing that's happened to every other normal human being in the history of sports, in the history of the world. You don't get better. You don't maintain this same unbelievableness for this long. It's natural. You don't go from scoring 50 goals a year to, you know, just you do that until you retire. He's going to slow down. Okay, now what are we talking about in terms of his career totals? For 40-plus games this season, he was as pedestrian as you could be. He was not Alex Ovechkin in terms of what we used to. And it's, excuse it, you've had one of the great careers of all time. There should be a statue the instant you retire, maybe if not before. You're the greatest. But yeah, okay, maybe we're facing it. Nope, wrong. He's unbelievable, Grant. He's unbelievable.
Well, and here's the good news for Ovi and the Caps. They got a lot of help yesterday. Flyers got worked. So now they're in a position right now, as we talk today, they're in the playoffs. They have 79 points, the 8 seed in an 8-team field. They've got 2 paths to get in. So the way this works is they've either got to be top 3 in their division to get an auto bid, or you have to be, just by way of points, one of the top 2 wild card teams, meaning you're not in the top 3 in either 2 divisions. So spots 1 through 6 go to the top 3 teams in the Metro and the Atlantic, and then spots 7 and 8 go to wild card, whoever's got the most points of the best of the rest. So they can get in by catching Philly as the 3rd team in the Metro. They're 2 points back of them, 2 games in hand. So they still get to play 2 more games than the Flyers, and they basically would need to get points in both games to be even. They get a win and go to overtime and lose. get 3 points, they would overtake them. So they're in a really good spot there. But they're in the playoffs currently, having not caught Philly, because they've overtaken Detroit, where they are now at 79 points, 1 point ahead of the Wings for the last team in via wild card. They have played one fewer game than the Red Wings. And tomorrow, Danny, Detroit's coming to town.
Oh, hello there.
So to say that tomorrow at Capital One Arena is a huge game doesn't even do justice what the 705 puck drop here downtown tomorrow night in D.C. is going to be. That house is going to be rocking. I was just talking, you know, we were talking with people here in the studio, and they go, is there excitement? Is there energy? Do people care about the Capitals right now? And I said, I really don't know. I'm so in deep that I'm not a good judge for this. Because if they were the worst team in the Metro, I'd still be going to games and watching them every night. But I can tell you this. The last couple of games I've gone to this week, the building is on fire.
It's been
again.
Some juice. Yeah, you win 5 out of 6, 7 out of 10.
It's a playoff push.
That's what's happening.
The Caps fans, the diehards, they're there. They're wearing jerseys. I don't know if like the casual fan who wrote them off 2 months ago is starting to check out every game yet or not. I think we're getting there. But if you haven't, tomorrow night might be a good time to jump in.
Well, you combine what they've done over the last... Again, this last week, going out west and doing that buzzsaw of basically Western Canada, Northwestern United States, coming back the way they did, in pretty darn good shape. That ridiculous win over Carolina in the shootout. Like that, I mean, what, first of all, it was like an arena football game, but of the NHL version.
So that was that Friday night?
That was, so with the 22nd, so is that Friday?
Or
is that Saturday?
That was 7-6 that game.
Yeah, there you go.
So that was the craziest game of the year. By the way, that was the best win maybe since the Stanley Cup for the Capitals. I'm not even doing a bit. To beat a Carolina team that is that good on a night where you needed to score 6 goals.
Mm-hmm.
Think about where this team was at the start of the year. Spencer Carberry should be the front runner for the Jack Adams Award right now for Coach of the Year. That's the conversation we need to have. But you're right. It was a shootout. I think it was like 6 rounds. Lindgren didn't give up a single goal at any point in the shootout, and they ended up beating Carolina.
Just unreal.
7-6 final. And then you go into a game against Winnipeg where nobody scored going into the third period 2 days later. They've done it both ways.
Yeah, once they got free that first period with their couple chances for Winnipeg, and by the way, Winnipeg is nasty. People need to get on board with that. And you put yourself in position to have meaningful games. That's really what they've done. Whether they do it or not, whether, you know, they got to go to Toronto, they got to go to Boston, or play against Boston, rather, this coming week, there's some really good opponents on their schedule. If they end up not making it, there's value in that, too, for some of these kids that are going through this experience, because this is going to be the next core that's kind of coming up here for Washington. But by playing really well over the last, what would you say, 3 weeks, give or take, you've now given yourself the opportunity to have an opportunity.
Yeah,
right?
It's probably twice as long as that, because it's really all the way back to their All-Star break that they've just been a different team offensively, scoring goals, fixed the power play. But you mentioned Ovi being the first star, Danny. Auston Matthews and Connor McDavid were the third and second stars behind him. Guy that's going to score 60 goals and the greatest player on the planet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're just chasing the 38-year-old right now.
Yeah.
7 goals and an apple, 8 points. This week for Ovechkin. Pretty incredible. All right, next. People have been waiting, so let's get into 800-636-1067, some of the reactions on the hip drop tackle. Also, we got to discuss what Dan Quinn told Tom Pelissero about the number 2 pick. He was asked point blank, are you guys taking a quarterback? And the head coach answered that question with some candor, I would say. You'll hear that audio as we continue on The Fan.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Pretty apparent that the hip drop tackle has struck a nerve, particularly with defensive players. There's a specific type of technique they're trying to get out of the game, and Rich McKay keeps saying it's not all hip drop tackles. It's the specific swivel hip drop tackle where you grab, you turn to the side, and then you, what they say is, unweight into the back of somebody's legs or ankles, and that has a high injury rate. It's a technique that the NFL, over objections from the NFL Players Association and over some skepticism that I've even heard here from some head coaches about how exactly you teach this technique was going to ramrod this through. When Roger Goodell and Troy Vincent go up to the podium as far back as December and say, this is a play we want to get out of the game, you can rest assured they're going to get that out of the game.
That was Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny, what if they – nobody said it in these words, but what if they basically, behind the scenes, say, let's only throw a flag when an egregiously dirty hip drop swivel, collapsing a guy's legs, leads to injury kind of moment takes place, which are a handful of season. And the rest, it's much ado about nothing. In other words, my fear and your fear, I'm sure, is that they're going to get flag happy like they did with roughing the passer and helmet to helmet in the secondary on hits of DBs on receivers. But what if they don't go in and say everything's a penalty and until it's not, guilty until proven innocent? What if they say, now we're going to flag the most egregious of them? Which would be a departure from how they've done things previously.
It would, so that would be a nice first step. I mean, but again, I just don't know. It's so hard to judge intent. Right? Like, if somebody's going, you know, because what everybody's doing on the defensive side is your every millimeter, every inch that somebody goes forward is bad for you, right? So there's a desperation to stop someone from getting the first down, the touchdown, the, you know, the sideline, whatever it is, you're doing everything you possibly can. So I don't think anybody that's trying to go tackle someone in this kind of scenario is going, I can't wait to put them in danger by I'm going to use this one technique. This isn't like jujitsu. This isn't like some sort of Mortal Kombat fight where you can't wait to rip somebody's spine out like you're Johnny Cage. That's not what's happening. It's everything's flying a million miles an hour, and you're just desperate to stop them. You're grabbing onto whatever you can. That's what for so long led to horse collars, in my opinion, because that was effective. You could grab it. That's why face masks happen. You don't sit out going, I should probably put my fingers through this guy's face mask and yank his helmet around. You're just trying to grab onto something as you're falling down the mountain. I'm with you. If they could find a way to legislate it that way, where it's like, it's got to be so awful that everyone goes, okay, yeah, then you throw the flag. I just can't see it going that way.
Let's go to Alex in Aspen Hill on Grant and Danny. What's up, Alex? How are you?
I'm doing well. I think what needs to be done instead of trying to change all these rules to get rid of different injuries, because injuries are going to happen in this game. It's a violent game, is they need to have more support for these players post-career, more guaranteed money, bolster the programs that they already have in place for, you know, helping alumni from the NFL, medical pensions, things of that nature. I mean, you can change all kinds of rules and try to officiate it, however, but injuries are going to happen at the end of the day. So, I mean, but the owners aren't going to give up money to the players for that reason.
Yeah, and there it is, right? And that's what this is all about, if you have a cynical view, which I do, by the way. I don't trust the NFL side, the owner side, as far as I can throw them when it comes to. We're very concerned about player safety. They're the ones that basically, they were like, yeah, there's no correlation between head trauma, concussion, CTE, and all that other kind of stuff until it was indisputable, and then they changed their tune and tried to pretend. This is all to avoid lawsuits. That's all to avoid those kinds of payments later on that you're talking about. 100%. I don't think this is any way, you know, out of some sort of altruistic gesture to try to protect players from themselves. I think it's absolutely that.
800-636-1067. You want to hop in. I can get behind it if they end up just being very selective with when they throw the flags. That's kind of where I'm going to be on this. I just don't want this to be an excuse for them in the name of protecting players, which I think is a noble cause. And I do think it's twofold. Like, you can say they're protecting themselves legally or, you know, long term and in the courts. Ultimately, when players are suing them to try to say they didn't tell me the risk, I think that there's cynically something to that. They're going to point to, hey, we're getting rid of hip drop tackles. We're getting rid of helmet to helmet contact. We're protecting quarterbacks in a way we never have before. But I also think they do care. Keeping guys on the field is important. When a quarterback misses a game and a backup starts, that's bad for your product. When a star wide receiver goes down, Justin Jefferson gets tackled by some linebacker on his legs and he breaks his ankle and he's out for 11 games or something, that makes your sport worse. So I do think they have an honest attempt being made here to try to keep guys on the field. I just can't add to the pile of things while watching a game that the way they're officiated makes it less fun, not more fun to watch. I'm not interested in adding to that. So they've really got to make sure that the officiating and ref part of this is handled correctly. He's Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Next, both Dan Quinn and Adam Peters have spoken at the owners' meetings. I want to get into what they've had to say. Quinn asked about what they're going to do at number two overall. Peters made it very, very, very clear that Jonathan Allen is not expected to go anywhere, that they want him to stay here in D.C., and they're not interested in trading him. We will discuss those things next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.